Our text this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bible, take it with me, please, and turn there. As I have said numerous times, make sure I'm not lying to you. The topic this morning is Mother's Day and mothers, and there are some interesting things I think that we can extrapolate from the scripture and some things we have to say about being a mom. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time to be together and for this time to look into your word. We pray that you might touch our hearts, that you might have us come away with a sense of our responsibility as it has to do with, first of all, being a mom, which half of us don't know anything about, and obeying you, for you tell us that we are to honor our moms. So let us do that today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father, honor your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Well, where did this idea of Mother's Day come from? Does anybody know? There's a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis way back in the, well, actually she lived until 1948. She was born in 1864, and she suggested the national observance of Mother's Day. And by an act of Congress in 1913, that's when it began. The celebration of Mother's Day in the United States came into being. Well, obviously, mothers came into being a long time before that. It is an expression, I think, of the creative image of God. Motherhood was established by God as part of the human idea. It's part of his plan for humanity. Motherhood wasn't an afterthought by God's power, but it's a divine intention that God shows us love from a unique perspective from the women who are part of the human race. And this took place from the beginning of time. You recall that as you read the story of Adam and Eve way back there in Genesis chapters 1 through 4, you see that it's God's plan that men and women would be together, and the result of their love for each other would be children, and that makes one of you moms and one of you dads. It's God's plan. The value of moms, well, there's an old Spanish proverb that says something like this, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. Pretty good, I think. Abraham Lincoln's quoted as saying that no man is poor who had a godly mother. The children of Israel are commanded from the beginning of God's dealing with them in the Old Testament to honor both father and mother. That's where Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 comes from. You look at that in your New American Standard Bible and you see that the print is different. Well, the reason for that is that it draws you back to the Old Testament. And it goes back all the way back to Exodus 20. Who knows what's in Exodus 20? The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And look at what's here. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And the Apostle Paul in our text this morning underscores this concept of honoring parents, of giving honor to those who gave us life. He draws on the Old Testament quote, and in our passage he says the same thing, doesn't he? Honor your father and honor your mother. So you can see what we do today is in reality a joining of tradition. That's true, because since 1913, our country has had this tradition. It's a national significance. But even further than that, there is a command from a centuries-old Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, which says, give honor to mothers. The story is told of a weary mother who, after tucking her children into bed, returned to the den to relax, and her heart fell. She looked at the floor, and there's a page torn out of her brand new encyclopedia set laying on the ground. Little pieces of the page were everywhere, and so she was frustrated, obviously, but she gathered up the pieces and started taping the picture together, and she discovered that the picture contained the face of a child. So when the task was finished, the mom turned the picture over to discover that the reverse side was a map of the world. It suddenly struck her of the importance of her task as a mother. As I shape the lives of my children, I am really shaping the world. And that is very true. It is very true. When we get caught up in all of the responsibilities of life and of work and church, it's very easy for us to forget, especially because of the little value placed on this critical task by the world around us. We realize how significant motherhood is to our world. And motherhood is not a short-term task for those of you who are just looking forward to it or just starting out. It's a critical task. The art of mothering carries great significance and lasting significance and value to the family, to each child, to the nation, and ultimately to the world around us. Values that are modeled in homes today, precepts taught by our mothers to us, to their children today, affect the lives of every person in this room and affects every life in the entire world. Now, today, and for decades to come. So we look at all the trouble and the difficulty and the trial around us, and we ask ourselves, what's the problem? It is that our society has dismantled the family. They have dismantled the ability of moms to have this kind of influence over their children. Moms are out in the workforce today, you know, if you're a feminist, fine. Go out and work, that's fine. But it's not nearly as important to God. The idea that you have a task to do if you have children to raise them. So where will the nation be? Will there be a nation to enjoy in the future? Mothers are instilling foundational principles right now that affect this nation in the decades to come. Will we have peace in the world? Moms, it's up to you. That's where the seeds of patience and forgiveness come from. Will there be less crime in the future? Well, mom, teach moral principles right now. Teach the difference between right and wrong. Teach the fact that if you do wrong, there's punishment to be had. And if you do right, there is praise. Will there be a committed church of Jesus Christ in the future? Our Lord Jesus asked that question himself, did he not? Will there be faith on the earth when the Son of Man comes? Mothers are planting the Word of God in young hearts right now. And if perhaps you don't have children and you have influence over others' children, then is that influence counting in this regard? So we can join together this morning, I think, in honoring our mothers. We can affirm their significance and their worth and their value. We've already pointed out the Old and the New Testament, honor your mother. So think with me about that term, honor. What idea comes to your mind when you think of honor? Is there an action that comes to your mind? When the Lord Jesus faced this very question, when he began to minister to adults, he had no idea what honor is. Those he ministered to had no idea what honor was to elderly parents. He goes straight to the issue of what God had in mind, and he took the Ten Commandments, and he says, this is what honor looks like. If you look at Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 8, Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 8, our Lord talks about the comparison between how man teaches the relationship between parent and child and what God teaches about the relationship between parent and child. And I think that we can look and say to ourselves, well, maybe I have it right, maybe I don't. Listen to what he says. This is our Lord speaking. Mark 7, 8. Neglecting the commandment of God. What commandment is he talking about? The very one back there in Exodus chapter 20 that we've been talking about this morning already. Honor your father and your mother. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, and here is another quote, again, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by is Corban, that is to say, given to God, You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as these." What's he saying there? In that society, there wasn't any social security. If your parents lived to be a ripe old age, you lived to take care of them because their ability to take care of themselves was gone away. And what the priests did, what the Pharisees and the Sadducees said was, well, all you have to do is dedicate everything that you own to God and you don't owe your parents anything. And guess where your parents ended up? Out on the ash heap somewhere, begging, destitute, sick, poor. They were not cared for. And the care for our elderly parents is put squarely upon us as their children. Jesus said, well, you nicely set aside the commandment of God to honor your father and your mother by declaring that everything I had that I would have supported you with is given to God. Well, the scholars get together and they translate the commandment into Greek. They chose a word that means this. Honor means to assess the value or to treasure. To assess the value or to treasure. And in this case, the woman who has given you birth. Now, involved in this idea of valuing is the assessment of facts about her that consistently go unnoticed. We look at our moms and we think, well, they're resilient. They can take anything. They can handle me. Well, maybe they can and maybe they can't. Depends on how easy you make it for them. So I want to remind you this morning that mothers have needs. Mothers have feelings. Mothers need to be affirmed and appreciated. Mothers need to be valued by their children. And I dare say, men, listen to me, by their husbands. Valued by their husbands. And this is something that needs to take place all through their lives. Those of you who are dealing with pregnant wives right now, I have a word for you. She's going to get strange. It just happens. You know, those hormones get a little bit out of whack, and she gets a little weird. Well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to still honor her. Honor her. All through their lives, husbands, as you have gone through stages of your children's upbringing, and as you have, perhaps you have, like I have, ushered my children out of my home, there are various stages of life that we need to be aware of as mates to be able to help our wives be good mothers and to uphold them in that task. Well, the scripture says, in short, moms need to be honored. Well, so if you're going to be a new mom or you are a new mom, let's think about that for a second. You're going to become immersed very quickly, and if you haven't had your children yet, this immersion has already taken place. There are some pretty sobering realities that come after that birth. Matter of fact, there's some sobering realities in the hospital when you're having that thing. I remember when I was in the hospital with my wife with our first son, and a lady down the hallway was screaming and yelling at her husband, "You did this to me, you dirty..." Yeah, it was quite graphic. I turned to my wife and I said, "You're not going to do that to me, are you?" She said, "Well, I don't think so." Well, fortunately, she didn't, but I'm here to tell you that it's quite an experience. Moms, you already know that that's true. Being a mom is quite an experience. If you're a new mom, stuff starts to change. And some of those realities in your life are gooey, and they're smelly, and dare I say, disgusting. There's those never-ending diapers. There are more dishes to do than you could possibly remember. There are more cleaning to do, more picking up to do. And when we started out, most of us started out with debts galore. You know, starting out with the fact that we're just getting started and there's not enough money at the end of the month and all those kinds of things. Pressures. Very new moms, moms-to-be, there are some things that you need to think about. Well, so the time comes and the birth is there and you're a new mom. Maybe you've been a mom for some time and you feel pressure to be a super mom. You don't have time to be tired. There's no time for personal pursuits. There's only time to work. And men, we need to be appreciative and give rest and relaxation to our wives who are working diligently to care for our children. Nobody deserves a day called Mother's Day more than mothers. A cartoon showed a doctor talking to a patient. He says, let's see. You spend 50% of your energy on your job and 50% of your energy on your husband and 50% of your energy on your children. I think I see your problem. Three 50s don't make a whole. And it's these kinds of things that mom needs a significant other, a husband, to remind her of her value and to remind her that she is valuable to her, to him and her children more than anyone else. Well, let's say you have teenagers. Or some of you here this morning have preteens. Well, here comes the years of involvement in the lives of your children. And very soon, they separate you from everything that is adult-like. Most of what you do is revolving around your children and their activities. How many times have you picked up the same thing? Does it seem to you like you just follow your kids around, picking stuff up? Possibly. I read this interesting article, and it said this: women who never have children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months of a year in leisure time. If that figure seems high, remember that the average mother spends 3.5 or more hours a week doing housework than a woman without children, plus 11 hours a week on child-related activities. This adds up to additional 754 hours of work every year, the equivalent of 3 months of 12-hour, 5 days a week of work. Wow. So 3 months a year it takes you to follow your child around. Well, moms need companionship, and moms need friendship. Moms need their husbands. Men should be creative about how they help in the home. There is an expectation these days that everybody is going to work in the workplace. As a matter of fact, I don't know how anybody makes it unless you're a professional, how you make it without two incomes in a family anymore. That's largely due to policies by our government. How does a family make it on one income? It used to be when my father-in-law raised his two daughters, he worked at a gas station. And he fixed cars and made a living, bought a house, supported his family. My mother-in-law didn't work. You can't do that now. It takes two incomes. There has to become a place where there's a balance struck, where we look at this idea of parenting as a partnership, and I think it's important for us to think in those kinds of terms. Well, what about if your children are all grown? You think the job's over? Nah. No. It's not over. As a matter of fact, in some ways, it's just beginning. My adult sons, in many ways, need me in different ways and in more ways than they did perhaps when they were in my home. And there comes the idea of building relationship and friendship with your children and working with them that God might have preeminence in their life, that their faith in Jesus might continue to grow. And they need your direction and they need your advice, carefully applied, but they still need your influence, even in their adulthood, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Mom, motherhood is a lifelong calling, and it's a lifelong calling from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is a lifelong calling of nurture and compassion and influence, and that influence cannot be ignored. A few years ago, I made an interesting discovery in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament. The word for compassion comes from the word womb. Compassion, womb. The picture is of a birth. This is the very thing that many of us experience from our moms. It is also the thing most needful to be directed toward our children, no matter their age. Compassion. Continuing to birth them into maturity. Well, husbands, what can you do? Let her be what she could be. Let her become what she could become. Let her be what you can't be. So many men have had a negative influence upon the woman that they call their wife. Women deserve permission to mother. They deserve permission to be their own person, to express their own personality. And it's really very freeing to the husband when he allows that to take place. When the husband comes to realize that for his wife to shine as an individual is a glory to him. Read Proverbs 31 if you don't believe me. There is a woman almost wholly independent, and she is a glory to her husband. She blesses his life. What can you do for her? Appreciate her uniqueness. Bless her life with freedom. Give her an opportunity to grow and become a whole person. And she will bring glory and honor to your family and to you. Children, what you can do? Well, the best thing you can do is be obedient. I mean, obey the first time she tells you to do something, not the 10th time. You know that after the first time, it's not obedience. If you're told to do something one time, that's enough. Do it the first time, not the 12th time or the 10th time or the 9th time. Do it the first time. The Bible says, honor your mother. And that's one way we honor, by obedience. The Lord said, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. What else can we do? Evaluate her value. I know that as children we have ways of looking at our parents that are kind of skewed by the perhaps the way they brought us up, or perhaps our own set of values. But I want to tell you that if you sit and evaluate her in the light of the Scripture, if you evaluate her value, she has gifts to give you, and she will continue to give them to you if you will be willing to receive them. Gifts that are given by moms to their children by example. Mothers model for their children what it means to be feminine, what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a mother, what it means to be godly. She models attitude. She models values. She models behavior. But most importantly, a mother models what it means for Christ to be the Lord of life. We look at our moms, and what do we see? Well, I hope that you saw in your mom a set of values, morality, a person of ethics, a person who was of the faith, but perhaps your mom wasn't any of those. But did you notice that the Scripture says nothing about that when it says that we're to give honor, to give value to the woman who gave us birth? Even if your mother was horrible, the Scripture says, honor your mother. You're going to say to me, well, how am I going to do that? I don't know. How are you going to do that? If you turn to the Lord and say, I am willing to honor my mother, if you'll just reveal to me how that's done, God will help you understand what it is that you need to do. So ladies, you are the model of Christ's likeness in your children's lives. If Christ is the most important person in your life, if your commitment to God means something to you, then you will have a better chance of inculcating that relationship in their own life with Christ. And if you are fortunate enough that your mom reflects some of these values, if she nurtured you in the formative years, if she provided for your needs, if she made some of the right choices for you, then assess her value and thank the Lord for her influence in your life. I've got one last thing to say. It's a quote. Over 100 years ago, G.K. Chesterton asked, "Can anyone tell me two things more vital to the race than these? What man shall marry, what woman? And what shall be the first things taught to their first child?" Chesterton goes on to comment that the daily operations surrounding her with very young children who needed to be taught not so much anything, but everything, Babies need not to be taught a trade, but to be introduced to a world. To put the matter shortly, a woman is generally shut up in a house with a human being at the time when he asks all the questions there are, and some that aren't. Our race has thought it worthwhile to cast this burden on women in order to keep common sense in the world. But when people begin to talk about this domestic duty as not merely difficult, but trivial and dreary, I simply give up the question, for I cannot, with the utmost energy of imagination, conceive what they mean. If drudgery only means dreadfully hard work, I admit the woman drudges in the home, as a man might drudge at his work. But if it means that the hard work is more heavy because it is trifling, colorless, and of small import to the soul, then I say, give it up. How can it be an important career to tell other people's children about mathematics, and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe? A woman's function is laborious, not because it is minute, but because it is gigantic. I will pity Mrs. Jones for the hugeness of her task. I will never pity her for its smallness. Moms, what you do is important. It's extremely important. Don't let anybody tell you it isn't worthy. It is absolutely essential. It is essential in the life of your children, so that they might grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and you give to them a value system that they will carry with them their entire lives. And it is your task. And we ask God's blessing on you this morning, that you might serve your family in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, that is lit up by the truth of the Scripture, and that in finding that task, you might find satisfaction. We honor you for it. We praise God for your influence in the lives of us. And we ask that you continue to serve the Lord. For we are very thankful to God today for you, for what he gave us. He gave us moms. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this word today. We pray, Lord, that as we think through these ideas and as these women think about their task as mothers, I pray, Lord, that they would not listen to the world that devalues them, but that they might listen to the Word of God that gives them great value and great honor, and that in doing so, they might come to a place in their lives where they are satisfied with the task that you have given them to do. We thank you, Lord, once again for these moms who are here today and for the moms who influence us and have influenced us down through the years. We pray, Lord, blessing upon them once again. We ask your guidance and your direction in their lives. And we ask you, Lord, as we look at them, that we might support them in whatever task they are about. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.